Father, you are listening to Radio Maria, and this is Father Toby with your word for today. And I want to reflect on today's gospel of Easter Tuesday, where Mary Magdalene encounters the risen Lord in the garden. Mary stayed outside near the tomb weeping. Then, still weeping, she stooped to look inside and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" "They have taken my Lord away," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." As she said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not recognize him. Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and remove him." Jesus said, "Mary." She knew him then and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means master. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go and find the brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So Mary of Magdala went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. All too often people give up right on the point that they may have been about to break through and to succeed. I think it's instructive to remember that every time you fail, you're one failure closer to success. Now, obviously, there is some merit to cutting your losses at a certain point too, but not when it comes to the religious life. The devil loves despair. The devil wants you to give up. And where there is despair, he no longer has to do any work. But the religious life is not so much about success, but about perseverance with hope. And the resurrection is the cause of our hope. The Eucharist is the food which sustains us on the journey, the difficult journey. And confession is the sacrament which raises us up after we have fallen and gives us the grace to carry on again, walking towards the Lord. And prayer is the entry into relationship with a faithful companion on a difficult journey. And with Mary Magdalene in today's gospel, we see the merit of not fleeing from the difficult place, because it is there at the empty tomb, initially a source of fear, in which she meets her greatest joy. And we see, as is so often the case with us, that she doesn't really understand what is going on in any given moment. There's lots of confusion for Mary Magdalene in this moment of the resurrection. But there is also lots of love and fidelity, and those prove more important, and she becomes the apostle to the apostles. The one who she initially mistakes for a gardener is the one who will make all things new, will bring about, cultivate a new creation more glorious than Eden. And she only recognizes him when he speaks, but she has to wait some time for this to happen. How many times, though, do we perhaps run from the seeming emptiness of prayer, just as Jesus was getting ready to speak the word by which we would recognize him? If you've not listened to our fortnightly program, Florilegium, by Kate and Antonia, you're missing a real treat. And in their Ash Wednesday episode, they made an important point about boredom in prayer, and included a wonderful quote from St. Teresa of Avila, who writes, "I would not want any other prayer than that which makes the virtues grow in me. If it should be accompanied by great temptations, dryness, and trials leaving me with greater humility, I would consider it a good prayer." That prayer is the best prayer that pleases God the most. That's such an important point that Antonia and Kate brought out. That's the prayer that pleases God the most, not the one that pleases us the most. That is the best prayer. We can have one idea of prayer, but God may well have another. And sometimes I think we need to rethink how we feel about prayer. We can't avoid it because it's boring, fear it because it's difficult, or torment ourselves because it's dry and we had the expectation that we should feel good about it. True prayer makes us grow in virtue, says St. Teresa. Patience and perseverance are amongst the virtues, and in contemporary society, they're amongst the most needed. If it's easy, but we're not growing in virtue, St. Teresa seems to suggest it's not good prayer. Now, this isn't to disparage joy in prayer. Joy in prayer is a reality and a gift. But often when God is drawing us to deeper prayer or to purification, he will remove some earlier consolation and allow us to enter into a spiritual desert. And I think the spiritual desert is so much more important than I used to, or at least the recognition that the spiritual desert is not something gone wrong. There are many, many amazing aspects of modern life. Some of our technological innovations are life-saving, others are just simply life-changing. When our dishwasher in the Priory was broken and out of action for 2 weeks, the amount of extra time doing the dishes for 11 people was pretty significant. But the danger is that we get the expectation that all of life is supposed to be smooth running. And in a certain sense, this isn't wrong. But the danger is that we forget that we live in a fallen world, all of it, and that we just start to avoid those areas of life that haven't been made smooth running by technology, that aren't efficient, that tech cannot improve or gamify or make more entertaining. And this means we start to miss out on things like prayer and on deep and meaningful relationships. Prayer is different from meditation, or at least the industry that has grown up around it, particularly around mindfulness, which all focuses on how I feel. In one podcast which I regularly listen to, called Cracks in Post-Modernity, hosted by a Catholic convert and a really interesting man, Stephen G. Adubato, he was interviewing an author of a new book called Victim. And it's a fascinating interview. The book Victim is by Andrew Borija. Apologies to him if I mispronounced his name. And I'd encourage you to listen to the whole thing. But one thing that struck me and was very interesting was Stephen asked Andrew how he found living in Miami compared to New York, where he previously lived. And he said a lot of nice things about Miami, but he said he missed the people from New York. And then he spoke about the way that the the climate of New York forms the character of New Yorkers, and speaking about extreme cold and extreme heat. And then I started to think about how much of modern society actually is designed to sort of almost protect us from our environment, to shut us off from the outside. You know, we have heating for when it's cold, AC for, you know, in an increasing number of places for when it's too hot. And these aren't bad things. But the problem is when they start to sort of change our mindset into the idea that the sort of the outside world is actually something hostile. Whereas for most of the history of humankind, we have sort of adapted and been sculpted and shaped by the environments in which we live. And I don't want us to get to a stage where we inure ourselves from the outside world. Rather, it's good to be formed by it and to live in relation with it. And that brings us sort of full circle to this beautiful image given in today's gospel of Jesus as the divine gardener. And the reality is, as everybody knows, is that gardens require work. We sort of romance this idea of the wild. But if you let things go wild, actually, they quite often just get sort of ugly and overgrown. Whereas the garden is beautiful. The garden is man's cooperation with the fruitfulness of the earth given us by God. But it requires work, and as we hear in Genesis 3, it will require toil. But that toil, when joined to the grace of God, becomes part of our redemption. Let's listen now to Beautiful Savior. This was a Radio Maria podcast. If you enjoyed it, do please click like and subscribe on your podcast provider or leave us a review. Every bit of feedback helps increase our visibility and allows us to reach more people with the message of Christ's saving truth. And if you don't already, you can listen to Radio Maria live either online or on DAB in selected regions of the UK. We'd love for you to call in live and be part of the conversation. See our website, radiomariaengland.uk, for more details and a full schedule of programs. And do please consider making a donation so that we can keep making more programs like this. We are completely dependent upon the generosity of our listeners.